It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change. We need to see a change. America needs change. America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light. In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." Responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is. And it's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom Dooley, and good Monday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station at this time or any time as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And, you know, I just believe there's great hope for those of you that may be attempting to lose hope. There's great hope. And I just know that wonderful things are in motion. Things are happening so quickly. And, you know, the Lord gave me a word several years ago concerning, I believe, this hour. What used to take 6 years would begin to take 6 months. What used to take 6 months would start taking 6 weeks. And what started, what used to take us 6 weeks would start taking us 6 days. So I believe there is there's an acceleration of what is happening across this land. You know, Gene and I, we still go out and minister from time to time to individual churches, but more and more we are Skyping into church auditoriums, and where they can see us and we can see them. And I mean, yesterday was such a wonderful service in Bethel, Vermont. We went to Bethel, Vermont from our studio in Austin, Texas. And it was a wonderful time, and I was able, through Skype and through the help of our producer, Michael Schonborn, who lives in England. So here I am broadcasting from my studio in Austin with a guy in England helping me, and we're both ministering into a church in Vermont. Amazing days. And God gave me a word for the church. The screen was the picture, the video picture was great, and the sound was good, and everything just went wonderful. And then at the close, I gave some prophetic words over individuals, and they just came up and stood in front of the camera. They could see me, I could see them. It was just an awesome time. And I was just saying, you know, ordinarily I would have had to have flown from Austin to Dallas, DFW, Dallas to Boston, and then a two-hour drive from Boston into Bethel, Vermont, all of those hours, and I was still able, same anointing, to minister my studio. And you say, well, you know, you didn't get to touch the people. Well, I did. I got to touch the people, and it was an amazing day. So I'm believing that I'm going to minister more on Skype into churches, into different people groups. These are wonderful days. I get to minister around the clock here on BPN Radio. And today I have a special guest who is from England, and you are going to be amazed at what she is doing, what is happening. You may even get to be involved. So it's a wonderful day. Let's pray right now. Father, we are so grateful and so thankful for the opportunity to be on BPN Radio on this Monday. We pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Today's a good day, and I just want to share just a moment about the value of one word from God. You know, I've been a prophetic voice in this nation of the nations of the world since 1985, and today there's a young lady that I'm going to have on the telephone from England who is sharing about me giving her a prophetic word in November of 1998. And how it's came to pass, the remarkable results. And I just believe in the prophetic. I believe in revelation. I believe that one word from God can change your life. And when you receive a prophetic word, it could be a now word, something God is doing now. It could be a future word. It could be a confirming word. It could be a new word. And I just believe that when we get a word, we have to receive it by faith. Our mind does not have the capacity or the capability of receiving a word from God. Our mind will say, no, that can't happen, that couldn't happen, that can't be. But we know that that's what God wants to do. He wants to speak to us supernaturally, where we hear something, then we see what we've heard, then we say what we have seen and heard, and then we go out and begin to do what we have seen and heard. And so this young lady from Chichester, England, I gave her a prophecy in 1998, November 1998. She heard it and she saw it. Then she began to say, that's the name of our ministry center. And the very next day, listen to this, the very next day, she went out and registered that name, gathered a group of people together to help her, and that ministry has grown and enlarged and expanded. I have been there to see that center that I saw in my spirit that I was able to give prophetic words over. In fact, only a couple of years ago, I was back there able to minister to the leadership of that group and to minister to that church that has sown into that ministry over the years. So I believe in prophetic words. And that's why I just believe that one word from God can change your life. You know, I have a book that I took one month out of my schedule to write, and it's called God Assignments, How to Start, How to Finish, a prophetic book from Dale Gentry. And you know, it's free of charge, and you can get that book by going to letspray.america.com. letspray.america.com, and then you click on to resources, and there it is, my book. You can see it, God Assignments. And my entire book is devoted to the prophetic. And I have had the privilege of ministering prophetically to so many, many people. Even several years ago, I was able to give a word to President George W. Bush concerning the Iraq War, the Iraqi War. And I didn't give it to him personally, but we had a mutual friend through a divine appointment, divine connection, who was able to put it on his desk for him to read. So it's amazing. It's amazing everything that has happened over the past 30 years that I've been serving as a prophetic voice to this nation and nations of the world. And so you can read my book. I know it'll be tremendous encouragement to you. There's a lot of instructions about the prophetic and that you need to go and look in on. And I'm just gonna pull that up right this moment. I'm going to letsprayamerica.com. Letsprayamerica.com. And there it comes. Then I'm going to resources, and I'm going to look for that book that I've been talking about right here on the broadcast. I'm doing it at this very moment. And Gene's book, Overwhelming Victory, Healed of Cancer, there it is. And then here is my book on God Assignments. And you know, you can download the book. You can download the book and read it. I can read my own book right here. It's called Dale Gentry Breakout Prayer Network, God Assignments, Table of Contents. It's got the dedication, the foreword, the introduction, then the chapters, Don't Hang Up, How to Start, All Things Are Possible, Little Ray, You'll Do It When You Do It, Seed, Time, Harvest, Nothing, Nothing, Pal, Giant Killing Days, Running with the Big Dogs, Big House, Big Screen TV, The Power Tower, Divine Appointments, Divine Connections, Prophetic Instructions, and How to Finish. Wow. And I'm reading it right now. So I could print it off and read it, take it with me, or I could just read it right here on the screen as I'm doing it this moment. So get that book, letspreyamerica.com, and then you go to resources, and then you click on resources, and there's my book. And you just click the download button. There it is. And it's all free of charge. There's no charge. In fact, there's no charge to any of my resources. And you can just go and get them free of charge. And the Holy Spirit told me to do that. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to sow into your life. And I believe that today's testimony is going to be life-changing. I pray for you right now that in just a few moments, when my special guest, one of my spiritual daughters, comes on to share her testimony, that the spirit of revelation is going to spring forth. And just as she received a word from God, I believe today is a good day for you to receive a word from God. And so I speak a blessing upon you right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So my guest Maggie Ellis will be here in just a moment. But my spiritual grandson's going to sing this wonderful song called Brighter Days. And it goes along with my interview today, because I believe there's brighter days for people. And I believe that when you hear from God, God can just change everything around you. And I just believe in the name of Jesus that it's happening at this very, very moment. So brighter days are in store. Here's the song, and then I'll be back with my interview.
Time keeps moving. Through the sunshine and the storm, and my dreams are set in stone, and someday I'll be who I wanna be. For now, I'll wait for the sun to shine again. For the rain to pass away. faces come and faces go, but none seem to look my way. And walls have stood and walls have fallen, but my heart seems to wait. For now, I'll sit at the end of the road and for now I'll wait at the end of the pathway. Yeah, yeah. See, I'm looking for the brighter days when all my hurts seem to fade away. And I'm looking for the brighter days to come my way. And I'll see the sun one day shine upon me. I'll see the sun one day and watch the night time turn to morning. But for now, it all comes back around, and I'm looking for the brighter days when all my seem to fade away.
Okay, it's an honor and a privilege to have here on BPN Radio today a young lady from England that I've known since 1991. Her and her husband, Roger, are great friends of ours. She's a spiritual daughter. Maggie Ellis is the founder and director of Life Center in England. She's a registered psychotherapist and psychosexual therapist and a well-known consultant, speaker, writer, coach, and counselor in the United Kingdom. And she started her career as a secondary school teacher, has led a church, has overseen church plants. And Maggie has been married for over 30 years, has two adult children. And we are delighted and honored to have her as our special guest here today on BPN Radio. So welcome, Maggie Ellis, to BPN.
Thank you, Dale. It's a real honor to be on your show.
Tell us about Life Center, how it got started, what it's all about.
Wow. Well, many years ago, I was leading a church, and God was already stirring in my heart the desire to do something more in the community. And then this prophetic guy with a Texan accent, I think one would say, called Dale Gentry, came to my church and prophesied. And it was on the 10th of November, 1998. And he said, the Holy Spirit says you're going to have a life center where you restore people back to life. You will have young ladies and young men whose lives are dark, on the verge of committing suicide, gone through several abortions, been raped many times, abused by their fathers and mothers, with no life. And there's going to be a life center where people literally get their lives back. And I won't read all of the prophecy, but even now, all these years on, I struggle not to cry reading it.
Wow.
But it says it'll be a place where people get rid of their shame. It'll be a place where Isaiah 61 will come to pass. In the place of your shame, I will give you double honor. They get their life back. They get their childhood back. They get their youth back. They get their families back. They get their reputation back. They get their self-worth back at the Life Center.
Wow.
And you know what? The very next day, I went and contacted the Charity Commission in the UK, and I said, I want to register the name Life Center. because I knew this was a confirmation of what God had already been growing in my heart, and I had already seen this, but it put words to it. And I'd actually been asking God in prayer for a name for it, and I knew that we needed to do something for people who've been raped and sexually abused. It's a human rights atrocity going on under our noses, and often people don't like to notice it. They find it embarrassing or shameful or all sorts of other things to talk about it. And yet, actually, I couldn't carry on as a Christian worshipping in our community knowing that there was no specialist service for someone for whom, through no fault of their own, they'd been raped or sexually abused. Mm-hmm. Whether that's a man or a woman, it's not just for women. Whether it was something recent or whether it's something many years ago, the damage is just as devastating. And so we set up the Life Centre with a small team of volunteers initially. We initially set it up very simple. It was just a telephone helpline. I trained in psychosexual therapy and counselling and got various qualifications so that I knew what I was doing, and then trained people from our church. It very quickly started to grow, and we had to get the help of other churches. We're now the biggest ecumenical organisation in our area for the amount of churches that support this. And it's just grown and grown from very small beginnings. And we've now, well, in February this year, I got a phone call from our office from the lady who takes all the referrals for people who phone in saying, I'd like to have some counselling. And she said, Maggie, we've just had our 3,000th person phone in.
3,000?
Yeah, wow. And since then it's even more. So this year the numbers of referrals have gone up significantly. Those of you who are listening in from other countries and may not know, the UK media in the last 3 or so years has been absolutely full of very high profile people being accused and most of them convicted of sexual abuse crimes. And that has massively increased the numbers of people coming forward to our service, as well as many other services across the country. As far as we know, we're the only Christian service offering a specialist service like this in the UK, which is a real privilege. Obviously, we reach out to people of all faiths and none, but as a team, we hold very dear the importance of prayer, praying together, praying mm-hmm. in our team meetings for all of our clients. And we believe that's a real key behind what we do.
Well, that this is a growing problem, I know, rape and abuse in America. And I believe that you have done some pioneer work. And I'm sure that, as you said, the statistics are growing the past 3 years. And when we talk about rape or sexual abuse, is that within the family mostly, or where would the greatest threat or greatest problem lie?
Yeah, it's a good question. The majority are within what we call a domestic context, which can be any wider family relationships. I'm just trying to find our statistics for that. I'll come back to it. But the majority are within a domestic context. There's also others where it's not, for sure. It might be acquaintances, people that you've met socially through work, someone you thought was going to be a date and then it turned into a rape. But the majority, sadly, is within the family with trusted people.
Wow.
And around a quarter of our clients are children.
Mm.
And for children, the majority of sexual abuse happens from a trusted person, which is usually within the family.
Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing what's happening, particularly as human trafficking has really come to the light, in particularly here in America, I know, and so many churches are getting involved in this situation. And I'm sure that I'm sure it's widespread in the United Kingdom also.
Yeah.
You know, I just sense, Maggie, that so many people are being violated, as you say, and violated by people they trusted. And how can parents safeguard their children, like having them to spend the night with a friend or having a friend over? What safeguards can parents take concerning their children?
It's a very good question, because we don't want to breed a fearful environment for our children.
Right.
But on the other hand, we also need to be wise. And I think we need to equip our children for the world in which they do live, not for some pretend idealized world. And sexual abuse is just as rife within the church Christian community as it is within secular society. Mm-hmm. We must not think that just because people are Christians, we can trust them. So how do we protect our children? I think predominantly it's actually about training our children how to keep themselves safe. Of course, you want to check out the family and get to know them. But to be honest with you, that is not a safeguard, because most sex offenders are very charming and you could spend years hanging out with their family and feeling like you're checking them out, mm-hmm. and you would not know.
Wow.
So I actually don't think that's an answer, although, of course, I wouldn't send my children to a stranger's household without getting to know them. But I think the stronger answer is how we educate our children to protect themselves so that they are not vulnerable, so that they will speak out. And it's things like saying to them, if anything happens that you feel uncomfortable with, making sure they know who they can go and talk to so that they always feel empowered. A child who's abused feels trapped and feels like they have no options. And the abuser will teach them that and tell them that they can't speak out, etc. But we should make sure that our children always know who they can go to, and to help them think through who they can go to in every situation. And that if anything happens that makes them feel uncomfortable, that they would not freeze and just feel stuck, but to be proactive and go and tell somebody, go and tell the mother in the house or phone home. Make sure they always have access to a phone, whether they've got their own mobile or if they're too young to have their own mobile, to make sure you set up with that family they're sleeping over with, that they've got access to the family telephone. And if they were uncomfortable with anything, that they know how to phone home straight away.
That's great. That is great. Well, I know that there are, I'm sure there's people listening. They feel trapped. They feel like there is no one they can go to, that they can trust. And I know for many years now, you have pioneered this work. And if people are listening today, and I really don't know of a life center here in America like you have in England, but I know there's people in different nations. So what if someone just feels like, you know, I'm trapped here, I'm entangled in something, and I've been hiding the shame, and I mean, who do they go to? How would they start if they don't know of anyone?
Great question. So I would say to anybody who is carrying sexual experiences that have not been wanted on your part and that are causing burdens to you in whatever way, I'd say to you, first of all, always reach out. There is always somebody who can help you. You can start by Googling what services are there locally. It might be called a rape crisis service, but some form of specialist service for survivors of rape and sexual abuse. So at Life Centre, we offer helpline support, which is by telephone or text. We also offer email counselling, which people use from all sorts of different nations. We also offer face-to-face counselling, which obviously is only useful if you're close enough to West Sussex in England. But most or many places around the world will have a specialist service. It doesn't need to be a Christian service. The most important thing is that these are people who are specialists to understanding and having a heart for rape and sexual abuse. And I would just encourage people to reach out and go to one of those services and ask for help and support. If there's nothing geographically close, there are many support websites that can be found online.
So how can the church get involved?
Well, at Life Centre, we would love to get in contact with churches who would like to set up something similar to what we've done. Whether or not they want to call it a Life Centre, we don't mind. But if there's nothing in your area, specialist for survivors of rape and sexual abuse, we have actually got funding for a member of staff who we are releasing to walk with new places to support you in setting something up. She will mentor you in what's needed. We are putting a lot of our training online so that it's filmed and you can access that training to use for your volunteers, staff that you start to build. So you can contact us at, we're calling it Life Centre Network, and we would support you in setting up a specialist service, whatever was needed in your area. And the way to contact us is to go on to website lifecentrenetwork.org. That's lifecentrenetwork.org.
Okay, that's LIFECENTRE, right?
Yes.
Network?
Yes.
.org?
Yes.
Okay, that's lifecentrenetwork.org. And you guys could actually help, you could help a church get set up, get started?
Absolutely. That is our vision. We want to pass on and share the learning we have. We want to help give to you the policies and codes of practice that we've had to develop so that you don't have to start from scratch and reinvent the wheel. We've put a lot of our training, we've filmed it and got it online, training on how to work with trauma, how to protect yourself from getting burnt out and not pick up secondary trauma, basic counselling skills, listening skills, some of the common issues that you will be working with when supporting someone who's been raped or sexually abused, how to deal with their anger, how to work with shame, etc., etc. Lots of different training modules that you can access online, and we put them up at as low cost as we can to make it really accessible. Our vision is to give away what the expertise that we have built up over the last 15 years, and because we would love to see other Christians be able to set up something that is really professional, really specialist, that will bring healing to people who have been raped and sexually abused.
So are you talking about, Maggie, you're talking about a church, or are you talking about maybe an individual that might be qualified to do this in America?
Certainly a church. It would need more than one individual. They would need a team.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a few individuals, even just two or three people who have got the vision, then we would get alongside them. We would encourage them to get the support of their local church, because we believe very strongly there is such a strength in that Christian community to help you make something like this succeed. And it's not easy to make it succeed. We are touching the kingdom of darkness. We're touching
right.
some horrific
right.
damage that the enemy has taken in people's lives. And our experience is that when you've got proper prayer cover, you will be much more successful.
Absolutely. Well, I believe that this is a tremendous opportunity for some churches, particularly here in America, to get involved in. And then if they contact you, then you could help them walk it through. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yes, we have a lady called Haley who her time is set aside to do exactly that.
Oh,
to
fantastic.
Talk with local teams, churches, to find out what their vision is to do, to get alongside them, to guide them through the process of setting something up, and to make available to them the resources that we have developed at Life Centre to pass that on to make life easier for them.
Well, I certainly agree, and I certainly salute what you're doing, and I'm just so honored to have had a part in that, and I've been to your center, and so delighted to participate in this ongoing assignment that God has given you, and you walked it through, and you've kind of ironed out the rough edges, and I believe that a lot of churches in America need to get involved. It is so important because of the increased attack upon, particularly upon children, upon young people, and upon, of course, adults that refuse to talk about it or refuse to go for help. And so this is an incredible work that you're doing. And I would like to encourage as many churches or pastors or leaders that would like to investigate the possibility, the opportunity to get in touch with the Life Center, network.org there. And of course, I highly recommend Maggie Ellis and her team. And I know anything that you would say would be, of course, very confidential. And I just hadn't thought about it till I talked about you today, but I'm just believing that there's going to be some response from America and that more churches will get involved in this ever-growing, ever-increasing problem that is damaging our society. And I believe it's a tremendous opportunity to reach out to people that otherwise we could not reach with the gospel. So,
absolutely. And we do need to do it wisely. What we don't want... Well, when I first set up Life Centre, I had a meeting with the head of social services in our area, and he was very confrontational and challenging to me. And he said, "How do I know that you're not just a bunch of do-good Christians who don't know what you're doing?" And that has lived with me ever since. And I've thought, that's what I'm committed to making sure we're not. Making sure that we are highly professional, that our team are well-trained, that we actually do know what we're doing. And I would say to any churches, don't take this on lightly. Really get a call from God. It's a wonderful area to get involved with because the healing of God is immense because the brokenness is so intense. But you do need to go with humility to learn how to do it well. And that will involve training. You're dealing with very complex trauma, and it needs people who are prepared to go through the proper training to learn how to do that well. There's lots of things that we can do badly and can cause more damage and more mess. And so if we're going to take this on, we need to really take it very seriously and take the responsibility of it to do it well. And also to be careful about how we bring Christ into this. Many people have been abused by power and authority, sometimes directly in the name of Christ or religion. And so we need to be very sensitive about that. And we can't go trampling in with another version of power over people and taking authority, because the way we act has to be the inverse of the damage.
Yeah.
And that is healing in and of itself. So the damage is by having someone take power over you when they had no right to do that and misuse their authority and their power, misuse boundaries. And so we need to be very careful that we come completely in the opposite spirit.
Absolutely. And I know that I know that there's a lot of people that have been abused even in the house of God, and that does create a major problem.
It's absolutely correct. And we do get many people who come who've been abused by their church leaders, their youth leaders, mm-hmm. their priests, whatever names are put upon their denomination. People who've been abused by someone who then prays for them as part of the abuse. And it is absolutely horrific and so twisted. And you can't begin to imagine that for that survivor, the last thing they need is for somebody to be offering to pray for them.
I know it's a major problem, but it's a tremendous ministry, and I know that can touch so many, many lives. Yeah. And I know that God has given you great favor there, even with the police departments. I know that God has given you favor there.
Yeah, we work closely with the police. We have very much an attitude that we want to prevent sexual abuse from happening. And our role has to be neutral for adults. It's their choice whether they report or not. For a child, we would always report the abuse. But we do believe that ultimately to stop that person sexually offending, the real and only power that there is to stop them is the power of the law. And therefore, we do believe it's important to work in partnership with the police in an appropriate way. So we would never put pressure on a client to report to the police if they're an adult, but we do support them and give them good information. We also offer a third-party reporting system whereby they can pass on information about the abuse to the police, third party via us, without identifying who they are. So lots of different schemes to try and work together, because ultimately we do need to get these people stopped from being able to abuse others. And really the only way to do that is through the police.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, we also really respect those survivors who, for all sorts of personal reasons, don't want to report to the police. And that is their freedom and their right. And the most important thing is for them, for you to find your own healing. And the guilt and the atrocity of this is on the perpetrator. There is no guilt on you whether you report or don't report. The most important thing for you is to find your own healing and your own repairing of your life.
Right. So if someone listening would like to even send an email, you have an email address they could send and say, I need some help?
Yeah. So if they want to have email counselling, we have an email counselling service, which is not just a one-off, but we would arrange a regular weekly email where they would get a regular weekly reply to that email, and they can go into some detail in offloading the trauma that they've gone through, and they will have a qualified counsellor reply to that email. And if they want to engage in that, the email address is help@lifecentre.uk.com.
Okay, help at lifecentre.uk.com.
Exactly.
Okay. I'll repeat that also later on in the broadcast. I'm so delighted to have you on, and I know it's very enlightening what you're doing, and I just want to compliment you on your willingness to help others get started. And before you go, Maggie, I want you to say a prayer, and however the Holy Spirit leads you, and we will set ourselves in agreement here.
Of course. Can I just let people know that our general website, which has lots of other information, is www.lifecentre.uk.com, because the website I gave for the network is specific for supporting people who want to set something up in their own region. But for survivors wanting to get information and general support, the website is www.lifecentre.uk.com. And there's lots of information there that people can access. So what would you like me to pray for, Dale?
Why don't you pray for those that are victims of rape, sexual abuse? They've not reported it to anyone. They're afraid. And then you could say a prayer for baby churches in America, whoever may be listening that would like to get involved in this ministry.
Great.
Okay. And if anybody wants to support you financially, that would be great. You could let them know that I'm sure that donations are welcome.
Of course. We're actually at the moment trying to buy a house that we could base our center in Chichester. So that's our latest prayer, faith target, if you like, to really expand and give ourselves a home. We want to get something big enough to be able to have a prayer room in it. And we're just very tightly packed where we currently are. We've seen so many new people coming that we've just outgrown where we are. Mm-hmm. To give you an idea, this year, just to the end of May, we've had 36% more people come to us than the same months the previous year. So we're just really getting over squashed in the building that we're in. And we feel now is the time to see if we could buy somewhere that could be our own rather than wasting money on renting.
So what do you attribute the 36% rise? Is that people just coming out of and beginning to search for help, or there's actually an increase in the abuse happening?
No, I don't at all believe there's an increase in the abuse. I think the abuse has gone on for generations and decades. But absolutely, I think there's a change in the culture that is making it easier for people to come forward. Sorry about that.
The bells are ringing.
Yeah, I think there is an increase, a change in the culture that is making it easier for people to come forward and to ask for help, because there's so much more media awareness and exposure of public figures who have sexually abused. Survivors are watching that and are seeing that people are believing them and they are responding and giving them help. Whereas in the past, people felt, what's the point in speaking out? No one's going to believe me. And there was such a deep sense of shame and self-blame. Whereas now I think society is changing and people are realizing there's no self-blame. There's no shame for that survivor, even though they feel it deeply. But truly, the shame is on the perpetrator, not on the person who has suffered. And people are seeing that others will believe you, and they healing and help and support is to hand, and actually can make a huge difference. There is hope. It can be better than it is just bottling it all up.
I agree. Well, I know that you have a tremendous passion for this, Maggie Ellis, and you just pray, and then we'll let the people know if anybody would like to make a donation to Life Center, where to go to, but you can pray, and then we'll go from there.
Thank you. So let's pray first for any people out there who have suffered any form of rape or sexual abuse. And you may be putting it down and saying, well, it's not as bad as other people. And I just want to ask you to stand in your own right before a loving God who cares about whatever it is that happened to you, irrespective of comparison with others, because you are important. And he cares about just one hair on your head, let alone the things that you're carrying in your memory. And so, dear loving God, I pray for anybody out there who's carrying memories of sexual abuse. And I pray for your loving kindness to come and start to change for the better the way they see themselves, the way they see what happens. I pray for your truth to break in. I pray where they're locked in their own prisms in their head and prisms in their emotions. I pray for a breaking of the chains of those prisms. I pray for freedom. I pray for restoration of all that beautiful human being was before the abuse came. I pray for restoration of who you created them to be, fearfully and wonderfully made. I pray you will restore dignity. I pray you will restore hope. I pray for the broken pieces, that you will gently put them back together again. I pray for your kindness to come into their heart. Where there's a sense of shame and dirtiness, I pray that just gradually you will help them see that it's not their dirt, it's the perpetrator's. It's not their shame, it's that person who did it to them, it's their shame. And I pray, Lord, for your love to come into those dark places and to bring healing just in small, gradual steps, but true steps that become strong and reliable. And most of all, I pray for hope. I pray for hope to rise. And I pray for a new freedom for this precious individual who you created and you love more than anything else. And I pray that you'll show them where they can reach out to get the right sort of help and support to help them along their healing journey. Amen.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate you being on today. If someone would like to make a donation to Life Center, how would they? Would they just go to the website you have?
Yes, they can go to our main Life Centre website, which is lifecentre.uk.com, and there's a section on there for donations and for giving. And we'd be really so grateful for any support. We really try and keep our admin costs low and put as much of the finances as we possibly can front-facing into paying for counsellors to do the work that we're passionate about, to see healing come to those who deserve it, men, women, and children.
Well, I certainly concur with that, and I just want to compliment you and on the work that you're doing and your faithfulness to pioneer this work and respond to the word of the Lord and all of the many people that you have helped. And it's just an honor, and I would recommend anyone that is interested, I can highly recommend you, knowing you and your husband Roger for all these years and knowing the work that you've done. And so I could highly recommend anyone to contact you. And once again, that is Life Center, LIFECENTRE .uk.com. And Maggie, thanks for being on today. And
thanks.
We'll have you back, and I'm just believing there's going to be some great fruit that's going to be produced out of this broadcast today.
And we really value all the listeners, your prayers. Even if you can't give financially, we so believe that prayer makes up all the difference. So please do be praying for our work. Pray for our clients. Many of them are in very, very dark places. And just pray for God's presence to be in everything we do. We would so value that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Maggie Ellis from Life Center there in England, here on BPN Radio today. God bless. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Well, I trust you enjoyed that interview with Maggie Ellis, from our spiritual daughters from England. Her and her husband, Roger, have been great blessings to our lives over the years. I love divine appointments and divine connections, relationships. And it's good to have you being a part of building relationships with here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. And I do want to give a special shout-out to all of my friends there in England. Gene and I have been ministering there in the United Kingdom since 1990. Great group of people. Our producer, Michael Schonborn, of course, is from England and works helping us right there. Speaking of Michael Schonborn, I want you to remember that all of these broadcasts have our archive. You can go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and you can click on all of the past broadcasts or interviews. And I just trust that you've enjoyed the broadcast here today on BPN Radio. If you'd like to make a donation, you can do that by going to bpnradio.com, and you can go down to the donate button, which is at the bottom of the page. We would appreciate that. Good to have you listening in. Remember, if you have a prayer request, you can go to bpnradio.com. And if you are not receiving one of our daily prayers that we send out by email, you go to letspraymerica.com. You can sign up. You can sign up yourself. You can sign up your city. And it would be a delight to be able to hear from you. It's been a great day. And I appreciate Maggie Ellis being on today. And if you'd like to contribute to her work there, you can do that in England. And if you would like to be a part of that and like to start maybe a ministry or a group here in America, then, of course, you can go to the information that she has given to you. Well, delighted to have you listening in. We pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time or any time. You have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.